Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the September 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. UEFA Champions League football group stage action kicked off this week. There were 16 matches played in Europe's top club competition. Joining me now for some insights is my friend and colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny.
Mukbil, let's highlight maybe just a few of the Champions League matches. Let's begin in Spain in Group H. Barcelona routs Antwerp 5-0. I understand a young Portuguese player caught your eye.
Yes, sir. This is Joao Felix, the 23-year-old Portuguese national. Phenomenal player. He is on loan currently to Barcelona from Atletico Madrid. He had a stint at Chelsea last year, his first goal in the English Premiership. And for all of those that know how it's been for Chelsea lately, it's been very difficult, you know, to say the least. And it was challenging for him as well. Then to see him move on from Chelsea and come to Barcelona, a lot of people didn't think that he really had it in him to play for a bigger club. He's played only 3 games, Sonny. First game assisted, second game goal and an assist, third game 2 goals in the Champions League, plus an assist to Lewandowski. He is playing out of his mind.
Sounds like he's getting progressively better, Mukbil.
To me, you know, he is a stylistically perfect fit for La Liga. You know, Portuguese style of play is very similar to the way that the Spaniards play the game. Tiki-taka, you know, that pass. Plus, Barcelona is one of those clubs where if a player plays there, it's almost like, you know, this brotherhood. You never really see players leave that team and never really want to come back. Messi, as we know, tried to make it back, but unfortunately, due to their financial issues, were unable to bring him there. Neymar was trying to come back, was unable as well. So it just seems like a lot of players, if they've had any kind of history with the team, they love to make it back home.
Barcelona, such a proud history, Mukbil. Do you give them any chance of dethroning Manchester City this season?
Honestly, Sonny, the style of play and the level of play that they've shown me so far, it seems like if they continue to play at this pace, they're going to be a very difficult team for anybody.
Okay, let's go to Rome now, Mukbil, and Group E, Lazio. And this may be the wildest finish and wildest celebrations of the week. The goalkeeper, Provedel, heads in the equalizer in the 5th minute of injury time. Talk about that.
Unbelievable. You know, anyone who knows this, the Champions League and how difficult it is not only to make it to Champs League, but to be able to get out from the group stages initially, knowing that every single point matters. The goal that was scored against them by Atletico Madrid was an error, almost like it was a deflection that went in. And the goalie, as you mentioned, Provedel, really was stuck because he was expecting the ball to go one way and it went the other direction simply because of the, you know, his defender just, it went off his body and it went in the goal on the opposite side. So this was almost this was redemption on his part.
Okay.
Even though really it wasn't his fault, that goal wasn't his fault, but he came in and did something that I personally haven't seen in the Champs League. Could have already happened maybe way back when, but in recent memory, I don't remember a time where a goalkeeper jumps in and scores a header to in the final minutes to put his team, you know, level with the opposition. Amazing.
And also the number he was wearing had some impact too.
94 in the 94th minute, they said. And the kid is born. He's born in 1994.
Oh, wow.
You know, so 94 means a lot to him.
And, you know, watching the highlights of that goal, Muckbill, he looked very comfortable, like he'd been doing it for some time.
It seems like maybe he played a different position in the past and then, you know, decided that, hey, I kind of really like playing goalie. And they just decided to go in there because that header was definitely not the usual headers you see from goalies.
All right, let's go to France and the French capital, Paris. That's where Paris Saint-Germain got off to a winning start in the Champions League. They defeated Borussia Dortmund 2-0. And let's give a sunny side of sports shout-out, Muckbill, for Moroccan star Achraf Hakimi. He had the second goal for PSG. Talk about Hakimi.
Yeah, Hakimi, as we know, had that wonderful run with Morocco in the World Cup where a lot of players or a lot of fans that are not familiar to his game really saw him play at an elite level. But he's a defender, but he doesn't really play your normal defender role. He runs all the way up. It reminds me almost of like that original Brazilian style where the right back comes all the way up top, you know, and he just kind of interchanges with his midfield. It's difficult to play that part if you're not super duper duper fit because you have to constantly run all the way up. Now you're running all the way back.
Right.
So on a constant level, you're just, you know, exhausting yourself. And we saw in this moment where he scored, he played a little 1-2 and got himself in a really good position. But his finish was so eloquent. You know, to me, for a defender to be able to get by on the right foot and then score on the outside of his right foot on the left side of the goal. You know, it was really a class goal.
PSG's opening goal scored by superstar Kylian Mbappe. Do you see Mbappe really making his presence felt in this season of the Champions League?
Yeah, I think PSG for some time now has wanted to make more of a splash in the Champs League and unfortunately have not been able to. They kind of get bounced relatively early, but they do win when it comes to League One stuff. So I would say their team is in the best possible position to go deep into the Champions League this year. They acquired Ousmane Dembele from the French national team as well, who played for Barcelona, who was literally the guy finding Mbappe the entire World Cup. So, you know, if you're going to go out and get somebody, you get somebody who knows how to get the ball to Mbappe and gets it done. So they've had a really good connection as well.
Okay, let's move to Group G, Muckbill, and the reigning title holder, Manchester City. They begin their UEFA Champions League title defense on a winning note. They defeated Red Star Belgrade by a score of 3-1. Kind of a crazy match. Man City, 22 shots on goal in the first half, and yet they were trailing it at the half, 1-0.
Honestly speaking, that's the beauty of the Champions League. You could really keep pressure on a team the entire way, but all they need is one simple counterattack, and they made do with what they had. Initially, the sideline ref had called offside. They went to the VAR and saw that he was onside. And, you know, to be down 1-0 and having had almost, 70 to 80% ball possession, the entire game was on one side. It's kind of demoralizing, but a team of the quality that Manchester City has, they were able to just brush it off and come back, ended up winning 3-1. You know, Alvarez, 2 goals. You have Rodri, who scored in their Champs League final, if I'm not mistaken, last year.
Okay.
Finished it off with the third goal for them.
Now, Pep Guardiola, I know, gave his side some probably encouraging words ahead of that match against Red Star Belgrade. In terms of the Champions League, Muckbill, how do you think he approaches it compared with, say, the Premier League?
I think Pep is a very tactical manager, right? He thinks about the long game. He always says that the entire season is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So knowing that his team is going to be competing in so many different titles, potential titles, it's in his best interest to move his pieces around and have a certain team that'll play, you know, in the FA Cup. He might have a specific goalie that he plays in the FA Cup alone. He might have a specific lineup or roster that he likes to start with for the Premier League. But the Champions League is a little different. So maybe he puts in some different guys. Now, the biggest takeaway for me and the challenge for Man City to repeat the treble that they did last year is that they are having quite a few injuries this season.
Okay.
They got Kevin De Bruyne, who to me is the catalyst of that team. Arguably the most important player on that team and probably the best midfielder in the world right now is injured at the moment. Having him, you know, injured and potentially we don't know how long he's going to be out for, if this is going to be a recurring injury. I believe they have another three or four guys out right now. But with the depth that this team has, they've been able to get by swinging people around. But here's the problem. Now, when you have a situation like that, what do you do now when you're playing in four different competitions and four of your top guys are out? These other guys that are maybe not well accustomed to playing in the Champions League now have to play in the Champions League as well. So it's going to be very interesting to see. Man City is finally feeling what it feels like to be every other team in the Premier League that has had to deal with injury issues, because for the last three seasons, they've gone unscathed.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with my colleague Mukbil Yabaro about the UEFA Champions League and the Premier League. In the Premier League, Mukbil, Man City, a perfect 5-0 with the maximum 15 points. I want to give a shout-out, a Premier League shout-out, for one player in particular with Ghanaian ties, Callum Hudson-Odoi. He marked his first English Premier League appearance in 18 months by scoring a goal to help Nottingham Forest rally for a one-all draw at home against Burnley. What other Premier League highlights have caught your eye, Mukbil, early in this season?
Early in the season, I will say Arsenal versus Manchester United, simply because I am a Arsenal diehard fan, and a majority of my family are United fans. So it was very interesting in our group chats, to say the least bit. We were able to get that 3-1 victory. United is having a relatively difficult season, very tough start for them. At the moment, they are seeded 13th. They have 2 wins and 3 losses. For a team with that extensive history and legacy, it's kind of sad seeing where they are, but hopefully they're able to pick it up during the rest of the season. It's still relatively early, but making up that distance sometimes is tough when you have guys like Man City at the top. Arsenal, Tottenham, and Liverpool are tied for second. I would say Brighton, Arsenal, Liverpool, and Tottenham are all have 4 wins and 1 draw. Brighton was a very interesting game as well against United, where they scored. I believe they beat them 3-1 as well. So, unfortunately, the highlights, my highlights have been United losing. But then we also have Chelsea, which is interesting, right? Chelsea has 1 win, 2 draws, and 2 losses in their first 5 games. This is a team that spent almost $1 billion in transfer fees.
Wow.
You know, spent more than the entire La Liga.
Amazing.
You know, but yet somehow they're not able to get the job done. I think the interesting takeaway is, we spoke about this earlier on in the session. João Felix, who was playing for Chelsea last season, really looked subpar. You put him in this Barcelona team, and now this is a team, right? Chelsea has a lot of individually skilled players at every position, but they're not team players. Sometimes the greatest players or the best players in every respective position might not be the best fit, because you need to build your team outward. Maybe you have a really great midfielder in that position and have complementary guys beside him. You know, maybe the other guys need to know that, hey, the touches should run through Kevin, right? De Bruyne.
Right.
It shouldn't be like all three of us are really excellent at that position and we're all, you know, trying to play the ball from a certain perspective. So I think Chelsea, that's the biggest takeaway for me that I've seen in the last two seasons, is they have really great individual play, but they're not a team.
Finally, Mukbil, Man City star Erling Haaland at the top of the Premier League goal scoring charts once again. And yet he had kind of a frustrating night against Red Star Belgrade.
Yeah, he's had a rough week, not only against them in his EPL match as well. He wasn't able to score. I think, all great scorers go through that spell. It's not that he's not getting the right looks. It's just that I think he hit the woodwork three times against Red Stars. He also had a one-on-one situation, but kudos to their goalie. He really, to have Man City have 37 shots and only to let three go in. honestly speaking, that kudos to him really, because that game could have been, it could have been football numbers. We could have seen some. We could have seen 11 goals, maybe 12 goals, something ridiculous, but he kept it to a minimal. So Haaland is doing what he needs to do to get done. Unfortunately, it's just he's having a little bit of bad luck at the moment, but I'm sure he'll get over the spill. Just look towards to see him score this week, EPL for sure, or the next time him and this team play, or the second time that they play, I believe, will be in about a week and a half.
Mukbil Yabarov, thank you once again for chatting with us, Mukbil.
Appreciate it, Sonny.
In UEFA Champions League results Wednesday, Bayern Munich made a winning start in Group A, beating embattled Manchester United 4-3. Also in Group A, Galatasaray scored goals in the 86th and 88th minutes to pull out a 2-2 draw with FC Copenhagen in Istanbul. In Group B, Mukbil Yabarov's favorite team, the Gunners of Arsenal, outclassed and swept aside visiting PSV Eindhoven 4-0. Arsenal is returning to the Champions League after a 6-year absence. And in the group's other match, Sevilla and visiting Lens drew 1-1. In Group C, English star Jude Bellingham scored in stoppage time as host Real Madrid beat Union Berlin 1-0. In the other Group C match, Napoli scored a 2-1 road win against Braga in Portugal after a late own goal. And in Group D, Real Sociedad and visiting Inter Milan drew 1-1, and Salzburg scored a 2-0 road victory against Benfica. In Major League Soccer, Argentina superstar Lionel Messi returned to Inter Miami's lineup Wednesday night, but it was a short-lived comeback. Messi was subbed off in the 37th minute of Inter Miami's 4-0 win against visiting Toronto after what appeared to be a leg issue. The 36-year-old Messi had missed two recent matches, one for Argentina in World Cup qualifying and the other in a MLS match. Fatigue was cited in both cases. Finnish footballer Robert Taylor, who came on for Messi Wednesday night, had two goals and an assist. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter, handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. In African women's football, South Africa has returned to the United States for the first time since 2016 to play the USA in two international friendlies. The first match takes place later Thursday evening in Cincinnati, Ohio, and the second encounter is scheduled for Sunday in Chicago, Illinois. Myron Nyka has a preview for us from Durban, South Africa. Sporty greetings, Myron!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Banyana Banyana returned to action for the first time since the FIFA Women's World Cup in August, where they reached the round of 16 for the first time in their history. A busy period lies ahead for Desiree Ellis's side, who faced the USA national women's team in two fixtures before heading back home to compete in the COSAFA Women's Cup and play in crucial Paris 2024 Olympic qualifiers. Ellis says they do not want to look too far ahead, describing the opportunity to play the four-time world champions as golden.
Look, this group was very level grounded. They have shown that they can step up at any time. They have shown that they're able to step up and they have that mentality. I think you don't need any motivation when you play against the USA. And they won't need any motivation. They know it's another game where they can test themselves. They know it's another game where they can show their performances at the World Cup wasn't a fluke, because they've put up magnificent performances throughout the World Cup. And here's an opportunity to show again and an opportunity to put yourself in the window. As you spoke about, you know, players getting contracts aboard, here's another opportunity for clubs out there to, if they were not sure, here's the opportunity to, for them to say, I really want that player.
19 of the 22 players who did battle at the World Cup have been called up for the tour to the USA. Two players from the group are based in the States and will be hoping to capitalize on their understanding of local conditions and their experience of playing against the country's top players. Young midfielder Sonokolo Sesane is a junior at East Tennessee State University, while Tembi Khatlana is on the books of Racing Louisville FC, having previously played for Houston Dash. Khatlana expects a big battle against the U.S.
To be honest, it's going to be intense, that I know. It's something that they bring every single time. I play with them week in, week out. The intensity from the start of the whistle and making sure that when we play the game, we play together as a team, because the strength of the US is to break teams. So whether we go out there and have challenges, depending on what we have at face at the game, I think it'll be good to always stick together as a team until the end of the 90 minutes.
20-year-old Faith Nokutula, who plays for Blackburn Rovers in England, has been recalled to the squad. She's delighted to be back with the African champions.
Yeah, everyone's focused, like, from minute one on the pitch. Everyone's been given 100% and helping each other out. So I feel like everyone's working together for the same thing. If I get a chance tomorrow, I'm going to give 100% like usual and just enjoy the game and just take in the experience, because I'm still quite young. So any experience I can get from the players, any advice, and also on the pitch, personal experience, is good to take back to club as well.
The match in Chicago will be a momentous occasion for U.S. midfielder Megan Rapinoe, who is set to call time on her glittering career. The 202-cap veteran has represented the country since 2006. Coach Ellis heaped praise on Rapinoe, applauding her playing career and her work as an activist for the women's game.
I think it's huge. I think she's most probably not just as a player, but an activist for women's football. She's been huge in the world, throughout the world, and has done magnificently for the USA, and for us to be part of that, it's incredible. I think a lot of the players that's played before and players that are currently playing have looked up to her, not just as a player, but as an activist. And I think she's been huge for women's football. So we're really blessed to be part of that send-off of hers.
In head-to-head encounters, the U.S. have the upper hand, having won the previous two matches against South Africa. Given Banyana Banyana's recent resurgence, they'll see this as an opportunity to claim a first-ever victory over the U.S. For the Sunny Side of Sport, I'm Myron Nyker in Durban, South Africa.
Thanks, Myron. It's been almost 10 months since world football's governing body, FIFA, lifted an international ban on Kenya. What's the country's return to football been like? To try and answer that question, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with an online editor with the Nation Media Group in Nairobi, David Kwalimwa.
FIFA lifted the ban on Kenya in November 2022 after newly elected Kenyan president at the time, William Ruto, conceded to FIFA's demands to reinstate suspended Football Kenya Federation officials in office, of course led by President Nick Mwendwa. You might remember Nick had been banned by the then government of former President Uhuru Kenyatta owing to corruption-related allegations. The allegations have since been cleared as well in court, and Mwendwa is currently in office serving as a FKF president. Well, at the time the ban was lifted, Kenya had been pulled alongside Cameroon, Burundi, and Namibia in the 2025 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers. But the tournament organizers, of course, the Confederation of African Football, did not allow Kenya to participate in the tournament as it had already commenced by the time the ban was lifted. So Kenya has since been forced to play friendly matches against the likes of Iran, Pakistan, South Sudan, and Qatar under Turkish coach Engin Ferhat, with the mixed results. Of course, the win over Qatar in Doha standing out, but the losses to South Sudan and Iran have been particularly calling for soul searching and a bit of reflection.
Kenya is part of the East Africa bid to host the 2027 AFCON. Any update on the bid?
I can confirm to you that Kenya has lodged a bid alongside its neighbors Uganda and Tanzania to host the 2027 Africa Cup of Nations. The bid was championed by President William Ruto, who has also promised to renovate stadiums in Nairobi, Mombasa, of course, the two largest cities in Kenya, alongside Eldoret Town, in readiness to host the games if the bid is successful. Nigeria, Senegal, Algeria, and Botswana have also placed in separate bids to host the games, and the winning bid is expected to be announced on September 25th, 2023. It's anyone's bid to win, in my opinion, but an East African bid could be somehow special. Remember, no East African country has ever hosted the Africa Cup of Nations before. And as well, with this region considered the poorest in terms of the standards of football, the bid could really excite East Africans and also maybe put the region on the right path into developing football and hopefully being able to compete with the likes of North Africa, West Africa, and Southern Africa, which has some of the best national teams on the continent.
David, what has been the response of Kenyans to the return of their country to international football? Any effects of the ban on domestic league?
Kenyans are cautiously excited after FIFA lifted the ban. Of course, Kakamega Homeboys, a Kenyan club, has just competed in the CAF Confederation Cup, but failed to go past the first hurdle after losing heavily to Libyan side Al Hilal. The country and the football fans here are now awaiting the 2026 World Cup qualifiers, which begin in November 2023 with bated breath. Kenya, of course, has been pulled alongside the likes of Ivory Coast, so it's not going to be an easy path for Kenya. But everything is possible in football, and maybe, just maybe, this might be the first time Kenya qualifies to play in the World Cup in the history of the country.
That's David Kwalimwa, an online editor with the Nation Media Group. And David spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Nairobi, Kenya.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo, and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week, for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes, and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
And that wraps up the September 21st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
Ah. VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.